Could we please turn for our Bible reading today to Micah chapter 6. So Micah and chapter 6. And I want us please just to take the time to read the chapter through. So Micah chapter 6 and verse 1. Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants. And I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. Wherewith shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord's voice crieth unto the city, and the man of wisdom shall see thy name. Hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? Are there yet the treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of deceitful weights? For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, in making thee desolate because of thy sins. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee. And thou shalt take hold, but shalt not deliver. And that which thou deliverest will I give up to the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with oil, and sweet wine, but thou shalt not drink wine. For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, and ye walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof an hissing. Therefore ye shall bear the reproach of my people. Today's text is verse 8. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God, we do pray that thou wilt even help us to understand this great text of Scripture. Lord, we know that this text brings before us our duties and responsibilities as thy people. And we just pray, Lord, that thou wilt minister to us and encourage us through the word of God today. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt give us the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord, whenever we come to study thy word, we confess and we acknowledge that without thy Spirit we are helpless. O Lord, we are so helpless and so, Lord, ill-equipped to understand the Holy Scriptures unless we have the help of the Spirit of God. And so I pray once again that preacher and congregation alike would experience that divine help, and that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified, for it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. We all find it very frustrating whenever we buy something and the instructions are complicated. I'm sure that you know what it is to have bought something, maybe a wardrobe, or maybe some of you parents bought toys for your children at Christmas time and or for birthday presents, and you have to assemble it yourself. Self-assembly. Whenever I realize that it's self-assembly, I pass it on to my wife. I'm not very good at self-assembly. DIY isn't my strong point. But very often you will find that you get instructions with whatever it is you've bought. And sometimes you will realize that you might as well not have the instructions because they're very complicated. Well, today we come to a text of Scripture that is not complicated. We come today to a verse of Scripture, and this is very simple and it's very plain. And our text is Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, and particularly the second half of the verse. And I want us to focus on these words. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? The Lord is saying to us today, follow the instructions. And these are not complicated instructions. These instructions are not like the instructions that come with a wardrobe or with a chest of drawers, and you say to yourself, why did they even bother putting that piece of paper in the package? Because it's double Dutch. These instructions today are not like that. These instructions are clear. And let me just clarify something before we go any further today. These instructions are for the Christian. Please don't fall into the trap today if you are lost and without Christ. Please don't think that somehow these are a set of instructions that the Lord is giving you today so that you can be saved, so that you can earn salvation. That's not what Micah 6 and verse 8 is all about. Micah 6 and verse 8 is directed to the people of God, those who have already been saved by grace. Tell me this today, have you been saved by grace? I was encouraged to hear this morning on the radio someone who referred to being saved by grace. Now, this individual was not someone that you would associate with Christianity, with the church, and yet they were able to speak of how Protestant people believe in salvation by grace. This is one of the great pillars of Protestantism. And that individual, he realized that good living isn't enough. Good living does not gain you acceptance with the Lord. It's all about the saving grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that saving grace today? Well, if you don't know that saving grace today, Micah 6 verse 8 is irrelevant to you. Or I suppose we could put it like this. The only relevance that Micah chapter 6 and verse 8 has for you today is that it shows you how far short you fall of God's standard. And when the scriptures show us how far short of God's standard we have fallen, then surely they reveal to us that we need a Savior. And they point us to Christ. I wonder, do you know the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ today? Thank God, even during the meeting, even before the end of the meeting today, you can come to know Christ. Even where you sit, you can call upon the name of the Lord. And the Lord has promised that whosoever shall call upon his name shall be saved. But this text of Scripture is for the child of God. And I want us to speak particularly to the people of God for a few moments. You see, in this text of Scripture, God is giving instructions for his people. And he speaks, first of all, about an action that he wants his people to do. This is an action that the people of God have a responsibility to perform. What is the action? Well, notice those two words, do justly. Do justly. What's the first instruction that God gives to his people today? Do justly. What doth the Lord require of thee? In other words, what's the Lord's instructions to his people in this congregation today? The first instruction is, do justly. The Lord calls us to action. He calls us to this particular action. We are to do justly. In all of our dealings, we are to do justly. Our lives should be lives that are just. In other words, when it says to do justly, it means to treat other people fairly. Treat other people fairly. That's putting it very simply. In all your dealings, in your business dealings, in your financial dealings, in your domestic dealings, whoever you come into contact with, do justly. Treat them fairly. Remember the golden rule that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. Matthew 7 and verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Treat other people the way that you would want to be treated yourself. Now, other people won't always treat you right. Even professing Christians won't always treat you right. Even professing Christians don't always do justly. But dear friend, child of God today, even though perhaps you might have experienced other people treating you wrongly, and even so-called Christian people, even though you've experienced that, you make sure that you treat other people fairly. The message of the Lord to you today is, regardless of how other people have treated you, you set the example and you treat them fairly, you treat them right. Do unto others as you would have them do to you. Do justly. The Lord calls us to behave properly in all our dealings. And that's true when it comes to the life of a church, when it comes to church work. You see, let's say every one of us who profess the name of Christ, when it comes to this house of God and to the work that goes on in this church, let us do justly. And the point I'm making today is, let's do our part. Let's all do our part. Let's all do what we can. You can't do everything today, child of God. Even though people might expect you sometimes to do everything. You can't do everything, but you can do something. I can't do everything, even though sometimes people might expect me to do everything. I can't do everything, but I can do something. We can all do something. And you know our attitude should be, by the grace of God, whatever I can do, I will do. Lord, whatever I can do in your house to further the cause of the gospel, Lord, give me the grace to do that. Lord, don't let me be someone who is a spectator. Lord, let me be a participator, not a spectator. I wonder, child of God, today, are you a spectator or a participator? You see, there's a story that was told about four people. Their names are everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. Listen to the story. There was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. I pray that our church will not be a church like that. But I pray that our church will be the sort of church where people volunteer to do what they can. I pray that our church will be a church where people use their initiative and where people throw their full weight into the work of God. You know, W.P. Nicholson used to often pray the prayer, "Lord, save us from loafers. Lord, save us from loafers." That's a good prayer. Oh, let's remember today that the Lord calls us to do justly. He calls us to an action. But you know, the Lord calls us today to an attitude. The Lord speaks not only about an action today, do justly, but he speaks about an attitude. There's an attitude that the people of God are to display. And what is the attitude? Love mercy. Love mercy. What does the Lord require of thee, child of God, but to do justly and to love mercy? That's the attitude that we ought to have. We are to love mercy. Do you know the reason why we as the people of God are to love mercy? Do you know the reason why we as the people of God are to show mercy to others? It's because we ourselves have received mercy. Do you remember the story that the Lord Jesus told about the man who had been forgiven 500 pence? Now back in Bible times, that was a lot of money. He had been forgiven his debt. But then he went out and he saw someone who owed him 50 pence. And he hauled that person over the coals and he was going to throw them into prison. And he wasn't going to forgive them their debt. And then the Lord, of course, taught the lesson that that man had a responsibility, a duty to show mercy. He had a duty to show forgiveness to his debtor because he had been forgiven a debt that was far greater. He failed to show mercy whenever he had every reason to show it. Oh, let it never be said of the people of God in this congregation that they don't show mercy. Let it never, dear friends, Christian brethren and sisters today, let it never be said of us that we are harsh people. That's the impression, you know, that the world has today. Now, I know that there's a whole lot of propaganda and a whole lot of foolish talk that the enemy of the gospel spreads around and uses people, and he uses willing tongues to blacken the name of the church. I know that happens. But let it never be true of us. People will gossip and people will criticize, and of course, right up until the moment that our Lord returns, people will speak ill of the Church of Christ. But let them never be right in what they're saying. If people want to say things, if people want to slander, if people want to accuse you and I of being harsh, cruel people, let us make sure that what they're saying is untrue. Oh, they will say it. People will say it. People will say nasty things about you and me, and I often emphasize that fact. But let us never be guilty of what they are accusing us of. Let us be people who love mercy, and let us be people who show mercy to others, even to Iris Robinson. How many people recently have criticized Iris Robinson? I know that she has failed. I know that she has done things that are terribly wrong, shameful. But you see, you know what disappoints me? There are a whole lot of people who will talk and gossip about her and criticize her and run her down, but they wouldn't even pray for her. They wouldn't get on their knees and pray, "Lord, would you help her? Lord, would you lift her out of that situation? Lord, would you forgive her? Lord, would you deliver her? Lord, would you lift her out of the muck and the mire again? Lord, would you show mercy to her? You showed mercy to me. Oh Lord, let me be merciful to her. Let me be merciful to all others who have fallen into sin." and let me seek to bring about their restoration. Let me seek to bring about their salvation. Whenever we're speaking on this topic, I can't help but think of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. The reason we are to be merciful to others, the reason we are to love mercy, is because we too very easily could fall into the same sins that they have fallen into. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Let us be people today who love mercy. That should be our attitude. Oh, I wonder, friends, Christians, brethren and sisters today, when we hear something about some other person falling into sin, maybe a child of God who has fallen into sin, I wonder what's our first reaction? Do we pass it on like so many people do? Do we pick up the phone? How much time there is spent on telephones? People gossiping. Oh, terrible, sad, no mercy. What's our first reaction? Is our first reaction to gossip? Or is our first reaction, Lord, help me not to pass this on. And Lord, help me first and foremost to get on my knees before you and to pray for that person. Lord, help me to do what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Whenever people were brought before him, people who had done wrong, and people who did deserve his judgment and his condemnation, Lord, help me to show the mercy that our Lord Jesus Christ showed to those people. Lord, help me to be like the Savior. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly? And to love mercy. And to walk humbly with thy God. There's the activity. The activity. The Lord calls us to walk humbly with him. You notice it doesn't say run. But it says walk. Just a walk. You see, being a Christian, following the Lord and walking with the Lord involves perseverance, diligence, and the ability just to do the everyday and to do the mundane. Just to keep going. You see, sometimes you get people who, whenever they are saved, or maybe long after they are saved, this is what they're like. They run for a period and then they give up. And you don't hear from them. And they disappear off the radar for a period of time. And then they come back again. And they're all full of enthusiasm and they run again the race that is set before them. But then they give up again and they stop. And they disappear again and they go off the radar again. They're inconsistent. They're stop-start, they're running, and they're giving up, and there's no stability, no consistency. Well, the Lord doesn't call us to run. He doesn't call us to be like that. He says for us to walk. In other words, he says to us who are saved, pace yourselves. Don't be stop-start. Don't be up and down. Don't be running and giving up and just having spurts now and again. Just walk with me. Walk humbly with thy God. Just day after day be faithful. Study the Bible. Spend time alone with me in prayer. Go to the house of God. Whenever you get an opportunity to spread the gospel, whether it's in new buildings or wherever it is, be faithful. Walk. Just be steady. If there's one thing that the church in Ulster and the church across the world needs today, it is steady people. dependable people. I remember Reverend Tom Cross often talking about people that he had worked with who were dependable. That was one of his favourite words. And my, you could learn a lot from old Reverend Cross. What a wise man. And he used to use that word dependable, speaking of perhaps someone that he had ministered to, someone in his congregation years ago, and he would say, oh, he was a dependable person. You know, you could count on him to be there when you needed him. You could count on him to do the job that had been allocated to him. He was steady. He was dependable. And he would speak of perhaps some lady in the congregation who was so dependable. She was always at her station. Whatever her responsibility was in the work of God, Reverend Cross knew that he could depend on her, and the rest of the church could depend on her. Dependability. Walking with God day by day. That's what the church needs. The problem in the church today is that there are too many people who are stop-start. We need people who are steady, people who can walk humbly with their God. What doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Do you know, of course, there is application in this text of Scripture to the terrible tragedy in Haiti. You see, this text speaks of doing justly. And of course, when it comes to helping the people of Haiti, we need to do justly. We need to do what is right. And what is right is to do whatever we possibly can to help them. And then our text speaks about loving mercy. And we ought to have a merciful attitude toward those poor people. Those people, many of them are caught up in voodoo, which is a wicked, destructive set of it's a wicked, destructive religion. It's a wicked, destructive set of beliefs. But our attitude should be, Lord, you have set me free by your mercy. And Lord, I was in darkness and I deserved every bit as much condemnation as those people involved in voodoo. Lord, I am just as guilty. I was just as guilty. And yet, Lord, you have delivered me from condemnation by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, you're able to deliver those dear people as well. You're able, Lord, to set them free. Oh, Lord, lavish upon them the same mercy that you have lavished upon me. Walk humbly with thy God. Humbly. You see, our attitude should not be an attitude that is high and mighty, an attitude that is holier than thou. Our attitude toward the people of Haiti today should not be, oh well, serves them right for all that they've been involved in, for those people involved in voodoo. And those people who have followed the Roman Catholic faith, our attitude toward them should be that, in a sense, we are no better than they. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We once were contaminated and we were polluted by the sin of Adam, that they are polluted and contaminated with, just as every person in this church today without Christ is contaminated and polluted with the sin of Adam, and you need a Savior. And our attitude today is not one of pride, but our attitude today is one of grace and mercy. And as we come to the end of this service today, we simply say that the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved so many in this congregation, can save the others in this congregation who are lost and headed for the pit of hell. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who has saved and delivered souls in this congregation, is able to save souls in the land of Haiti. One final thought on this text of Scripture. The person who perfectly fulfilled this text of Scripture was the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, no person who has lived on this earth has perfectly fulfilled and perfectly obeyed this text of Scripture. Not even Christians. You know, there has never been a Christian who has lived on this earth who has perfectly fulfilled Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. And I'll guarantee you something, there will never be a Christian who will ever live on this earth who will perfectly fulfill Micah 6 and verse 8. But oh, let us look away to the one today who perfectly fulfilled this text of Scripture. Oh, he offered perfect obedience to this great verse. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he lived those 33 and a half years upon this earth, oh, how perfectly he fulfilled Micah chapter 6 verse 8. The Savior knew all about this text. And because he was the Lord of glory, without sin, he perfectly obeyed these words. He did justly. He loved mercy. And he walked humbly with his God. And you know, the joyful message of the gospel today is that because he perfectly obeyed this text of Scripture and every other text of Scripture, then salvation is offered. Forgiveness is offered to each one in the congregation today. Forgiveness is offered to the village of new buildings today because Christ fulfilled Micah 6 and verse 8. Forgiveness and salvation is offered not only to this village, but to the city of Londonderry and to this country of Ulster and right across the globe. And praise God even today to the land of Haiti.